Welcome back, everybody. And I do mean everybody. Little known fact here, Chip. Everybody listens.
I know.
To our podcast.
Even these peeps.
Even these peeps.
Yeah.
I don't like that you have them staring at me.
I did that on
purpose. They can stare at you.
Okay.
As you well, decide whether to devour them or not.
Let's do it that way.
There you go. Yeah.
The missing peep.
For Elijah.
Yeah. Sure.
Hey, everybody.
What?
It's the week after Easter.
It is.
It would be a really easy time, I think, Chip. To stop reading the Bible.
Never. No. Not our people, Eric.
Not our people.
Our people are ratcheting it up.
Yeah, that's right. But I do think that there's like a certain amount of, sure. I don't know if it's like spiritual fatigue or what that comes from Good Friday service, you know,
sure.
Easter service, family stuff. So
okay.
If you guys are here listening, super proud of you.
Super.
Way to go.
Way to go.
I've heard more and more people tell me I'm keeping up this year.
Okay.
You know, which is really great. And there's a few people that'll say like, well, I'm a couple days behind or whatever, but they catch right back up. And
that's good to hear.
So it's really, really good. You guys are doing a great job. Okay. We are going to continue our reading. Oh, speaking of continuing our reading, is that what you want to say?
Well, sure.
Our people are great, Chip.
Yeah. Speaking of great people, Eric.
There we go.
Today is day 94, and we are going to read Judges chapters 12, 13, and 14. We're going to jump ahead to Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 23 to 45.
Yeah. I forgot to say this yesterday.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because you forgot to say it.
Because I forgot to say it. The reason we put Peter so close to Mark is because Mark, most likely, most church tradition says this, is writing the memoirs of Peter.
Oh.
So we get like a big chunk of Peter right in the middle of the year. And I'm really enjoying this. I'm really enjoying that Jesus comes up multiple times a year.
Oh, yeah.
Like that that's good. Really cool. I'm really liking that.
That's
so
cool, Eric. I like that.
Okay. Judges, chapter 12. Ephraim fights with Jephthah. Then the people of Ephraim mobilized an army and crossed over the Jordan River to Zaphon. They sent this message to Jephthah. Why didn't you call for us to help you fight against the Ammonites? We are going to burn down your house with you in it. Jephthah replied, I summoned you at the beginning of the dispute, but you refused to come. You failed to help us in our struggle against Ammon. So when I realized you weren't coming, I risked my life and went to battle without you. And the Lord gave me victory over the Ammonites. So why have you come to fight me? The people of Ephraim responded, You men of Gilead are nothing more than fugitives from Ephraim and Manasseh. So Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and attacked the men of Ephraim and defeated them. Jephthah captured the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And whenever a fugitive from Ephraim tried to go back across, the men of Gilead would challenge him. Are you a member of the tribe of Ephraim? They would ask. If the man said, no, I'm not, then they would tell him to say Shibboleth. If he was from Ephraim, he would say Sibboleth, because the people from Ephraim cannot pronounce the word correctly. Then they would take him and kill him at the shallow crossings of the Jordan. In all, 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Jephthah judged Israel for 6 years. When he died, he was buried in one of the towns of Gilead.
Ibzan becomes Israel's judge. After Jephthah died, Ibzan from Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons, 30 daughters, and he sent his daughters to marry men outside his clan, and he brought in 30 young women from outside his clan to marry his sons. Ibzan judged Israel for 7 years. When he died, he was buried at Bethlehem.
Elon becomes Israel's judge. After Ibzan died, Elon from the tribe of Zebulun judged Israel for 10 years. When he died, he was buried at Aijalon in Zebulun.
Abdon becomes Israel's judge. After Elon died, Abdon, son of Hillel from Pirathon, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He judged Israel for 8 years. And when he died, he was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites.
The birth of Samson, Judges chapter 13. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, and the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. His hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. The woman ran and told her husband, A man of God appeared to me. He looked like one of God's angels, terrifying to see. I didn't ask where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he told me, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. For your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, saying, Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about this son who is to be born. God answered Manoah's prayer, and the angel of God appeared once again to his wife as she was sitting in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. So she quickly ran and told her husband, the man who appeared to me the other day is here again. Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, are you the man who spoke to my wife the other day? Yes, he replied, I am. So Manoah asked him, when your words come true, what kind of rules should govern the boy's life and work? The angel of the Lord replied, be sure your wife follows the instructions I gave her. She must not eat grapes or raisins, drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, or eat any forbidden food. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please stay here until we can prepare a young goat for you to eat. I will stay, the angel of the Lord replied, but I will not eat anything. However, you may prepare a burnt offering as a sacrifice to the Lord. Manoah didn't realize it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, what is your name? For when all this comes true, we want to honor you. Why do you ask my name? The angel of the Lord replied. It is too wonderful for you to understand. Then Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord. And as Manoah and his wife watched, the Lord did an amazing thing. As the flames from the altar shot up toward the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended in the fire. Then Manoah and his wife saw this. They fell with their faces to the ground. The angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord, and he said to his wife, we will certainly die, for we have seen God. But his wife said, if the Lord were going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us this wonderful thing and done these miracles. When her son was born, she named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he lived in Mahanadan, which is located between the towns of Zora and Eshtaol.
Judges chapter 14, Samson's riddle. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, a young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me. His father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all Israelites you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good to me. His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines, who ruled over Israel at that time. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him and ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. He found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it, but he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. As his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was custom for elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions. Samson said to them, let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I'll give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to explain the riddle for us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, you don't love me. You hate me. You've given me my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even given the answer to my father and mother, he replied. Why should I tell you? So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset of the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson replied, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had solved this riddle. But Samson was furious, even what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been in Samson's best man at the wedding.
Okay, and then we jump forward to Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 45. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet, come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience. They began to discuss what had happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee.
Jesus heals many people. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak.
Jesus preaches in Galilee. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That's why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons.
Jesus heals a man with leprosy. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went, spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him.
And that is our reading today. And we read it with two questions in mind, Chip. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Chip, the question, my friend.
Okay.
How does this help you love God more?
Yeah, so I love how Jesus is moved with compassion. And we experience that, yes, for eternal life, but also for the abundant life each day. And we do. We don't see it in his story in the New Testament with Mark, but we do see it through God the Father in our reading today in Judges. How the Lord, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines.
Right.
So this seems crazy that makes me love God more. But the idea is that God disciplines us. So he disciplined them because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And because, and really comes down to his compassion, because he doesn't just want to punish to punish, but he wants to punish to correct because he loves and he has compassion towards us. And so I need that. I don't like it, but I need the discipline of the Lord. I need to be corrected. And he wanted to correct them, and they did correct, but then they will go back, correct and go back.
That's right.
But that's all because of God's grace, and so I'm thankful for it. And then we model that, with our kids and those we lead and stuff like that too. But I think that spoke to me as I read through that, and then I with the compassion that Jesus has, he healed someone, but with his compassion too, I think he wants to correct us, help us make the course corrections in our life. And sometimes it's painful and we have to suffer consequences to hopefully we'll learn from it and get better because of it.
Yeah. Awesome. That's really good.
So how does this make you love others more?
So I want to really hone in on, the compassion of Jesus toward this person with leprosy. Mm-hmm. I think Jesus, I mean, even if he had looked at his disciples and said, hey, listen, don't be afraid to help messy people. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have meant nearly as much as him reaching out and touching a leper.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we know that, yeah, Jesus, he can do miracles. He can heal the leper. We know that.
Yep.
But we also know that he's able to suffer physical ailments and physical injuries. We know that from the cross, obviously. So him reaching out and touching this leper is still shocking. And it just shows us that, hey, just because people are messy, mm-hmm. just because people maybe have baggage or are damaged goods, like that doesn't mean that we shouldn't minister to them. In fact, those are the very people that we should seek out.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how I can help. This helps me love others more.
Yeah, I definitely want to get better at that for sure, because I think that's all throughout Scripture. And I commend those. There are certain people that are really good at that, mm-hmm. getting into the mess of others because of love. And I want to be like them, and I commend them. It's not easy, for sure. It's easy to say it, and we see Jesus do it.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, mess is mess. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just want to stay far away from it instead of dive into it.
Yep. Not Jesus.
Nope.
I mean, even just his incarnation in this world.
True.
You know, like, compare that to where he was from. Yeah. It's pretty messy. Pretty messy. So, all right.
All right, everybody.
There you go.
Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate you guys and proud of you guys.
And thanks for the peeps.
Yeah.
To someone.
Yeah. Somebody gave us Peeps Delights, s'mores peeps.
They're fancy pants peeps.
They are. And they're dipped in decadent milk chocolate.
Yeah, no, I noticed. So that's why I only had one, is I'm actually allergic to decadence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I got to take all the decadence.
No, yeah, you can have my decadence. I'll take all the decadence. I break out in hives if I have anything too decadent.
Yeah, but it's just not milk chocolate. It's decadent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Milk chocolate. So there is.
Well, I appreciate the labeling because, quite frankly, like, you can see, like, labels usually will have wheat or peanuts or milk or soy.
Yeah.
But not often does it say, like, warning, decadence.
Yeah.
Contains decadence.
Right.
You know, so this was a little too decadent for me. I do need to go immediately to the hospital after reading today.
Okay,
but,
that's fine. Yeah. I will not. I love
decadence. I should have read the label. It's on me. It's on me. I should have read the label. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
I hope everyone has a decadent day.
I will.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have a decadent peep.
Right there now. You go.